Welcome back into Sports Talk here on 105.3 FM. Pelicans coverage of taking on the Timberwolves over on 870 AM. Me, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long getting into it with now Pels reporter Ollie Cosell joining us. And man, Ollie, I know the two-game win streak, obviously nice to see for the Birds, but even better news this evening, the return of Zion. Hallelujah. Hopefully he can stick around for a little bit. How you doing, Ollie? How is your new year and what is going on?
Yeah, the new year was good, and it's gotten even better, right? Pelicans finally stopped losing some games, won two in a row. Now you've got the big guy back, Zion. And I'll tell you what, I've been noticing something that's different, and it's the fact that his body, this is the best he's looked physically coming off an injury. Right? Usually players, and it's not just Zion, have to work themselves in a better shape, and it's kind of noticeable, right? You can see it on their body type. But with Zion, he looks like he's slim. He's just got done playing 30 games, so that's kind of exciting stuff. That's different. That's a good difference.
Ollie, I know we're back when we're talking about Zion's looking in shape again. That's how I know we're back where we need to be. That's my favorite off-season conversation.
Unfortunately, it's king cake season there, too.
He's getting it done. No, I was wondering, you know, anytime you have a guy, especially someone of Zion's build who misses extended time, it's always going to be that question.
Like coming back, right?
How do you come back? So, I mean, just to kind of get further, like, what should we expect for him in this game? I mean, minutes restriction. I shudder to think burst limit or whatever that was back in the bubble days with a burst limit. They still have nightmares about that conversation. But what should people expect from Zion?
Including Zion.
Yeah, right.
Bursts, we know that Zion absolutely hated them. So I don't think they're going to treat him much like they did, right, that first year under Alvin Gentry, where they limited him with a four-minute burst. No, what I'm expecting is he's going to be held, right? Willie Green said minutes restriction. So we're probably thinking he's going to top out about 25 or so. But I think what we'll see is he'll begin the game, probably get a quick breather, and probably get back out there to start the second quarter. Because otherwise you're resting, right, far too long, I feel like, for a guy coming off a couple of hamstring injuries. So remains to be seen. I just don't expect for that to be like exactly to the T, 5-6 minute burst or whatever. Like I said, Zion's absolutely despised him, and the Pelicans have tried to kind of move away from him.
From the good news to the bad news, we saw Trey Murphy get injured recently. Any word on how that ankle is doing for him? I know he wasn't at practice today.
Yeah, he didn't practice yesterday. Didn't see him he was actually at shoot around.
Okay.
But wasn't able, of course, to go with the team, missing tonight, obviously. I think what he's going to do, it seems like it's a mild case again. Maybe he's going to miss about a handful of games. We're thinking maybe about two or three. And we'll see him at some point during this upcoming three-game road trip. But again, it looks like he escaped anything major, right, where, like, for instance, Brandon Ingram. We see how long he's out. It looks like it's going to be measured in months. But with Trey, yeah, just a mild one. He sprained the same ankle as he did previously, which caused him to miss no games. And this time around, he's going to miss, like I said, just only a handful, though.
Ollie, you and I were talking a little bit off air. You know, the next month, basically, effectively the next dozen games are incredibly important for this Pelicans team. And that all starts tonight with Minnesota. So I want to take it kind of a little bit game by game, talk about the Timberwolves first and foremost, because that's who the Pelicans are playing tonight. Minnesota, 18-17 overall, you know, Steve and I were talking in the first segment there that they were really on the doorstep of the NBA Finals last year. And then they make the kind of controversial decision to move on from Karl Anthony Towns. They bring on Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, and it hasn't really worked out for them. I know Anthony Edwards has been very outward about kind of his dislike of how things have been going so far this year. And himself, I know you probably saw the game. He put up 53 points against the Pistons, and they lose by 14 points. So Minnesota's been kind of messy this year. Despite their 18-17 record, which is a winning record, it's not the same Minnesota team that we saw at the doorstep of the NBA Finals last year.
No, Charlie, look, let's face it, that was a bad trade on Minnesota's part.
100%.
I know that financially they wanted to not pay Karl Anthony Towns on his next contract, which would have sent them right up into the second apron territory. And their ownership has never really wanted to pay even the tax. And unfortunately, they made a deal, Julius Randle, DiVincenzo, as you said. And those guys, neither one has fit. Dante, it seemed like, and I read this, the first month and a half, he didn't even really want to be in Minnesota. And you could tell by his play. Right? He didn't at all resemble the player we saw last year with the Knicks. Now, with Randle, he just simply hasn't fit, period, right alongside Anthony Edwards. While he's still putting up the numbers, it's the fact that it almost feels like your turn, my turn, simply because he dominates the ball. You know that your superstar like Anthony Edwards is going to have the ball a lot, right? He's going to have a handful of dribbles whenever he has those touches. But for to also have Randle doing the same thing when Karl-Anthony Towns honestly was a quick decision type of player, right? Either he shot the ball because he was open or he just put his shoulder down and make a drive to the rim. Randle doesn't play that style. And in fact, he plays one of those rare traditional where I think even Brandon Ingram, you can't even compare him to Brandon. But Brandon's now much quicker decision type of maker out there. Julius isn't. And so their offense, Minnesota's, has died. And now their defense is also suffering, right? So this team has really, I think, taken a step backwards. So much so that Chris Finch tonight, he's removed Mike Conley from the starting lineup. He did that in the last game and inserted Dante DiVincenzo, just trying to shake things up. Because that team, like I said, can be had. And if the Pelicans just really do their job on Anthony Edwards, which you know Herb Jones is going to give it his all, and probably do at least a decent job, that I think the Pelicans can win this one. Let's face it, guys. When you get Zion back, that's got to be a jolt of energy, not just to him, but to everybody on that team.
And I think if you're looking at the schedule again, Ali, if they can pick up this win and make it three straight against Minnesota, they have the back-to-back, and back-to-backs are never fun, but it's against Portland. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw how they handled one of the worst teams in the league when they went back-to-back against Washington. Against Portland, you know, they've picked up losses to Portland earlier in the year, but who was on the floor? You know, we'll see what kind of happens there with that matchup. But your thoughts on the Trailblazers as well with that matchup tomorrow?
Yeah, the Pelicans faced them in that first week and a half. And at that time, there are no bad teams yet, right? So even the teams that are supposed to be bad still don't really know it, so they play harder. And I think the Pelicans got a really good shot from Portland in both of those early games to where they dominated New Orleans on the glass. I don't think that's going to happen this time around. One, they're missing a couple of key players. But also, two, I've watched a recent game of theirs, and they just don't play with kind of that same energy. So if the Pelicans do play as well as they have been, and I know it doesn't reflect in the record, right? They've just won two games after losing 20 out of 21. So I feel like their play, their competitiveness has really ticked up over the last maybe three or so weeks. So if the Pelicans just honestly show up, this could honestly be a four-game winning streak. I can't even believe we're saying this, right? Because 3 weeks ago, we were wondering if they could win another game. But no, this team is trending upwards. You can see with their shooting, more three-point shots are going down. And the defense is slowly beginning to actually show some kind of semblance from previous years to where they're stopping opponents from getting too many points in transition, fast break points, and basically the keys to what Willie Green was doing last couple of seasons, where that was a six-rated defense overall.
I think another big thing, Ali, and I know it was the Washington Wizards, but the Pelicans were really able to limit their turnovers in those games, and that is just so huge because there's just been so much sloppy play, errant passes, things that make you, you know, bang your head against the wall. But at least those things seem to be cleaned up a bit in that this two-game win streak. And no surprise, when you're not turning the ball over, you got a better chance to win games. So overall, just, I mean, what have they done to improve that? Is it just guys getting more chemistry together?
That honestly is all it is, because we asked when DeJounte had back-to-back turnover games of eight apiece,
yeah,
right? It's something he's never done previously in his career. In talking to him, CJ, they said it's a lack of chemistry, right? These guys haven't really even played together on the court since Nashville, right? Training camp. So that's an issue when all of a sudden you got to jump into NBA speed where, you know, every team's getting about 100 possessions. So everything's going at warp speed. And then, of course, DeJounte, on top of that, right? His mom had a stroke. Probably that's still an ongoing thing for him, along with returning from a fractured wrist, right? So all his timing, basketball timing, is off. And that, I think, is what honestly led to all that disjointedness. But now that he's had a handful of games, alongside several teammates that he recognized, right? They had a little bit of a run there with Trey, Herb, CJ, all together in the starting lineup alongside Eve Missy. And I think all that helps, right? Continuity honestly helps. So they flipped that script to where now, I think, last 5 or 10 games, the offense is actually about 15th or so in the league. And that's huge because I don't have to tell you guys, but the first was a month and a half or maybe 2 months, the offense and the defense were both towards the bottom of the league. So now, like I said, we're seeing signs of coming down. You're right, Steve, less turnovers. That's been a big key.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Yeah, I mean, here's my thing. You know, it's been a rough year, right? Yeah, you just suffer through a 5-12 Saints season, and a lot of times for me, it's like, okay, the Saints season is going on. I pay attention to the Pelicans as much as I can, but it's like, oh, the Saints season is over. I can finally turn and really sink my teeth into the Pelicans, and I look 7-29. Like they could win 22 consecutive games and get back to 500, but I just don't see that happening. But where do you land on this roster, on this coaching staff? The trade deadline's coming up. They're going to have to obviously make some decisions there. Is there saving this roster? Is it all about the injuries? Because I feel like obviously the injuries were incredible and they're hard to overcome. But you know, teams do that. Teams that deal with injuries, they don't lose 20 out of 21 games. This It feels like that type of drop-off is indicative of something's not necessarily clicking. And I know the roster they rolled out there was hardly an NBA roster for a while, but where do you land on all that, and where do you see things going regardless of what happens the rest of the way?
Yeah, it makes no sense to rehash the past, right? I mean, the Pelicans, their top seven players, I looked today even, missed 132 games out of possible 252, right? So more than half the game. So obviously you're not going to have a winning roster by NBA standards out there most nights. And then the second thing is, I felt like that haymaker early in the season where you lost all of your guys. Then Zion went down, which was going to be a long-term injury. Then beyond, I feel like that honestly does take some bite out of the team, right? That competitive spirit. So that's what you're rebounding from. And that's why, like you mentioned, postseason thoughts are pretty much gone, right? Pelicans trailed the Spurs by 11 games just to get into that 10th spot, right? That final play-in spot. So that's rarely ever been done. Any team making up that kind of ground in the past. So what you're hoping to see, though, is that these guys do stay healthy so you can learn which guys work together and which ones you want to keep. Because by re-entered the season, they're going to have to make some change, right? Likely Brandon Ingram was going to have to go, but maybe it was going to be CJ McCollum. Well, now it's basically if everybody can get on the court, now you're looking at just what works together, because that's what you should bring back, you know, over the summer into next season. Brandon Ingram's likely going to go, but still, you want to reevaluate Jordan Hawkins. CJ's now caught fire for five games, but can he keep it going? Right? And then, of course, you're watching this Dejounte Murray. You brought him in to be that clutch-time performer, the guy that's going to lead this team with a real point guard. So far, he hasn't resembled anything of the sort. So, like I said, this is a perfect time to evaluate where, honestly, there's no pressure. There's no pressure to win games, but you want to still see the guys excel on the court because you got to make decisions on the future. And as you guys know, NBA, there's a lot of volatility in the off seasons nowadays. It's no longer where most players stay with one or two teams for their careers.
Ollie, always appreciate the time. Hope you enjoy the game tonight. Let's get another win. Make it three in a row.
I hear you. Winning is fun. It's different.
It is. Yes, sir.
Hey, get yourself one of those heart shirts.
I was going to say that too. Exactly. I want to go to a game just to get one of those for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome stuff as always, Ollie. Thank you so much for joining us.